dnešnej 20 minútovke máme exkluzívneho hostia. Budem sa rozprávať s izraelským vojakom, ktorý bojoval počas vojnového konfliktu priamo v Gaze. Sme radi, že ste s nami. Ako vidíte, dnešná relácia vyzerá inak ako zvyčajne. Máme tu menej svetla, viacej tmy a dôvod je veľmi jednoduchý. Budem sa rozprávať s izraelským vojakom, ktorý v obave o svoj vlastný život si chce zachovať anonymitu.
Vieš nám povedať, prečo je dnešný podcast takto anonymný?
I choose to be anonymously in this podcast because I wanted to don't get interrupted by other people in my private life. But I do think this message should be shared around the world. Dobre.
Spomínaš si na 7. október 2023, kedy vypukla vojna alebo ten vojnový konflikt a mnohí to považujú za masaker.
I remember this day like it was yesterday. Because in that day we understood that something has changed and it's not the usual stuff that we used to have. For example, in my home country, we're getting missiles from 10 years since I was a kid, but this time it felt completely different.
Ako si reagoval v ten deň?
First of all, we were in shock. We didn't believe that something like this can happen. And we needed to make ourselves clear very, very fast, because if you were staying in shock for a long time, we felt like we're going to losing it.
Ako dlho si bol priamo na území Gazy?
I've been there for a few months.
Informácie tu na Slovensku sú plné propagandy o tom, ako Izrael robí agresiu. Čo podľa teba ostáva také skryté pred očami ľudí tu v Európe?
You need to understand that many organizations and country will benefit from the propaganda against Israel. That when you are consuming a propaganda video in Instagram or YouTube against Israel, you're basically founding the Hamas with that. Because when they are getting those views, they're getting more donations from the world and they're keeping the war against Israel. As the one who was there and saw those people myself, many times that we were in encounter with civilians, population, they were telling us they are getting blocked to get their food because of Hamas is taking it from them. And I personally myself bring food to those civilians in order to help them to survive. They don't care about their civilians. The war is, it's just against us and they don't care about their civilians at all.
No ľudia práve tvrdia opak, že Izrael je ten, ktorý tie potraviny tým ľuďom v Gaze nedodáva.
I mean, there's no reason for us to do that because if you're gonna look at the war, how it began, they took hostages to Gaza because they know how much do we care about civilians and in life in general? Because this is Israel's, the nation of life. I remember one time we prepared to enter Gaza and one of the training was how to take care of civilians. And it was like 2 days after the war started. And for me, it was hard, obviously, because we just been witnessed one of the worst atrocities in Israel. But the commander told me that if we don't take care of the civilians as well, we're going to be just like them. We love life. We care about every life. We got inside Gaza instead of doing something from the sky or doing more bombs, just because we care about the life of the hostages and the life of the Palestinians as well. We don't want them to die or to suffer because of Hamas.
A tento obsah vám vieme prinášať bezplatne vďaka tomu, že tieto relácie podporujete, šírite a zdieľate. Ďakujeme za vašu podporu, za vašu priazeň, no a poďme si vypočuť rozhovor až do konca. Ako sa dá vysvetliť to, čo počúvame u nás v médiách ohľadne genocídy a ohľadne toho, ako Izrael zabíja ženy, ako sú tam obete a veľakrát aj detské obete?
So I will divide my questions to divide my answer to two parts. The first part would be while I was in the Gaza Strip, I really tried to investigate the situation to understand how we can minimize the casualties, the children and the elderly and the women. And that I saw but a UN report that every army that fighting inside a civilian area, usually there's 9 civilians that getting killed and only 1 terrorist getting killed. In this war, the ratio was 1-2 or 1-1, which means the IDF have the lowest rate in history of killing civilians in urban fighting. And that's not for no reasons. We were risking sometimes ourselves to get hostages and to save as much people as we can because we care about the life of other people. And I can tell you, and the second thing is that many times you see that those terrorists themselves don't care about their people, and more than that, they're leaving them there to get hurt by the IDF. And I remember one time that we were in the Gaza Strip and we met a family that shouldn't be there because the army give so many effort to not hurting civilians. They're throwing papers from the sky to warn them. They put a big big round calls outside of those area to evacuate the civilians. And when we met one civilian there, we were shocked. It was a family of a mother and two children. And they were telling us directly that Hamas left them there in order to get hurt and in order for the IDF to think that they're hitting terrorists and in order to get the headline that Israel is killing civilians.
Stále tomu neviem porozumieť, že ako je možné, že takéto správy sa dostávajú k nám úplne v inom znení.
Again, I am expressing my story and I'm not an expert in this topic, but I would say that when we speak about that with people from abroad, usually people see as the one who have the power and the military force as the strong one, and the ones that don't have it as the weak one. And usually the weak one is the one who is right, and people tend to get the side of this one, obviously. And as I said, Hamas and other countries that support him is giving a lot of effort in order to delegitimize Israel, and they, as I understand, put a lot of money for that in order to make it happen. And sometimes you can see those things in videos that you see in Instagram or TikTok that show you how much effort they do in order to delegitimize Israel by also putting in false videos. And I will ask you that, if the country is so poor and so in need of help, why do we need to fake videos? Why don't you put real videos?
Niektorí kritici opäť hovoria, že Izrael nepúšťal do Gazy žiadnych novinárov.
I can tell from my experience that as you might think of, Gaza is a very dangerous place. Mm-hmm. And we want, as we said, to minimize the casualties and only let Israeli press to go inside. I saw it one time that the Israeli press were inside. But they, as I imagine, more trustable in getting orders from the army. And as we said, we are caring about all the life and even the life of the press. And we just, as I imagine, don't want to risk their life as well.
Niekedy sa hovorí, že izraelskí vojaci sú ako keby také stroje bez nejakých emócií. Čo nám tomu povieš?
You need to understand that Israeli soldiers are normal people like you and me. They want to have a life and a family and they have a future. And I don't think you would disagree with me that nobody wants that. I didn't want that. I wanted to live my life. And eventually I need to do this because I want my children to have a country to live in. And we did that only because we care about the country and we want to have peaceful and quiet life. Not for a single second, because we hating the enemy.
Prečo si myslíš, že Izrael je obviňovaný z toho, že je agresor a že napáda všetky krajiny okolo neho?
So, I think the answer will be some similar to the last one, but again, we just want to have our normal life. And you can see by how many how many effort we do in order to, I guess, to achieve a peace agreement. And as I said, the people in Israel are just want to live their normal life. But if, again, we see that it's not a possible thing, and just try to imagine to yourself how it is like to live in a city that you are, as a civilian, can get a missile from Iran and from the Houthis or from Gaza, and you cannot just live your normal life. Like how stressful it is, and sometimes it's so sad that the world cannot see it, because I don't think nobody will tolerance missiles to their capitals in other places of the world. So we only defense, and it is in our army's name, IDF, it's Israel Defense Force. We don't want to take lands, and you saw it in the last war, no land war declared that now this is Israel. And we care about the society. We try to do as much as we can to maintain their safety. And again, what you see in media sometimes don't represent the truth. And it's not only about Israel. It's about every place that have his own agendas. And I welcome anyone to go to Israel to see it themselves.
Povedal si, že Izrael je krajina, ktorá sa zvykne brániť, alebo ktorá v podstate aj v názve, že je to defensívna armáda, ale často vidíme v tých pozíciách práve, že útočí na krajiny okolo.
I will answer the question by quoting one of the prime ministers of Israel, was the first and only female prime minister, Golda Meir, and she said that the moment that the Arab countries will leave down their weapon, there will be peace. And the woman, the Israel, will leave down their weapon, they won't be Israel. Because if you are seeing the agendas, eventually, of those countries, it's very clear that their agenda is to wipe out Israel from existence. So, yes, sometimes you need to strike first, sometimes you defense. This is how war is going. And obviously, some action is not justified. But if you look at the IDF, you see that those mistakes that happen in the war, they usually get investigated. And if someone do a major mistake, they're going out of the country. Because again, they're out of the army. Because again, the purpose is to save as much as life as possible. If you look in Hamas, for example, or Hezbollah, it's the completely different agenda. Because their target is to kill and hurt as much as possible. And if you don't kill as much as possible, this is where you're doing the investigation.
Ako si vieš vysvetliť, že izraelská armáda je tak silná, napriek tomu, že je tak malá krajina? Ako je to možné, že tá armáda je jedna z najsilnejších na svete?
As you see, after the Holocaust, I think many Jews understood that the only place that's safe left for them is in Israel. And I imagine you are a father to children, and if there's some way you can protect the future of yourself or your children, you would do whatever it takes, even if it's financially or creatively, in order to maintain themselves. And I think everybody can relate on that. So we understand that we have no other place to go, and we will stay there, and we're going to do whatever it takes to stay there.
Kde sa u vás berie tá sila alebo tá láska ku krajine, ktorej žijete?
I think the feeling of nationality in Israel is because we feel we all share the same fate in Israel. And that's why Israeli people tend to be very warm and kind, not only to each other, but to other people. Is that because we want to give and to donate to the world as much as we can. I mean, I look at myself and my friend of mine and the close environment, and we've been educated like you have been educated in Czech Republic or in Slovakia or in the States or whatever, in order to be beneficial to society and in order to maintain society and to develop new stuff and to be useful to this world. And I think in Israel, you see how much we try to donate to the world and how much we try to develop it. And also you can see what happened on October 7th, of how many people is got into maintaining the country. And for example, you can see shops that gave all their products to people that got evacuated from the villages or to soldiers in order to support them. And this solidarity in the one hand, and the one, the willingness to develop and to help to the world, I think those are the sources of me loving so much of this country. And as I said, we wish that also to the countries around us.
Cítili ste, keď sa stal ten masaker 7. októbra, že svet súcíti s vami?
I think after 7th of October, as we felt that the world is supporting us, and we felt like this is maybe the time that we can stop the wars and one and forever may finish this terror organization and maybe have peace. And as I said, this war is going over more than 3 years now, because we try to maintain the principle of not hurting civilians while ending a terrorist organization. And yes, unfortunately, and I'm really sorry for what's happening there. And as I said, as a medic, it's tearing my heart to see unrelated people suffering from that. And yes, obviously the world is losing its patience, because war it's bad. It's always bad. But I can assure you that from once who was there, that we try to investigate ourselves all the time to try to minimize the casualties and try to end this war as fast as we can with hurting terrorists and keeping civilians safe.
Je niečo také, čo ti počas toho obdobia, keď si bol v Gaze, tak utkvelo v pamäti, že na to nikdy nezabudneš?
Yes. I remember the first night when we enter Gaza, in one of the places that we were, there was a fight going around, and the building that I was in, I felt like it's not gonna survive the night because of all the what's going on around. And I remember myself telling myself, okay, this is the night I will not come home, and start to maybe in my mind to say goodbye to the family and say goodbye to the dreams, and telling myself that, okay, I'm here to save as much life as I can, but maybe this night is going to be the night that I'm not going home. And I remember just I had like a little praying book with me and just praying until I got to sleep. And when I closed my eyes completely, I thought, okay, this is the last time I'm going to see this world. But when I wake up in the morning, it was complete silence. And it felt like some sort of heaven for a few seconds. And then I look at myself, I saw all the dirt and all the signs of the war. And I think this phase shift my mind to understand that my life is important, but I'm just an individual. And if I will save here lives of as many people as I can, so maybe it's worth it to get injured or maybe losing my life as well.
Si veriaci?
Yes, I believe in God.
Myslíš si, že Boh ti pomáha? Pomáhal v týchto ťažkých časoch?
I think God were with me all the time, because in those situations, when you have less food and you have less sleep, you become closer to God, because you feel like you are shifting from your physical needs to your spiritual needs. You get filled by spirituality. And I spoke with God many times. I try to understand if I'm doing things right or doing things wrong, or where could I get the motivation from. And for this part of my life, I really felt his presence and feel like he's with me. Because I felt like I'm doing the right thing.
Ako je možné, keď ty si veriaci a mnohí ľudia sú veriaci, že v mene Boha zabíjate iných ľudí?
So, as I said before, even after October 7 happened, my target in life haven't changed. I was a medic in my civilian life and I was a medic in the army. And I still saw the same purpose. I wanted to save as much people as I can, and this is the purpose of anyone else that were with me. And I will answer your question by a famous saying that said that we usually don't afraid of people that believe in God, but we're afraid of people that doing a thing in the name of God. And I think that everyone will agree with me that saving life and hurting as much people as possible is what God wants in our life, and it's a main principle of every normal human being. So when I was there, I wasn't thinking about that I will do this in order to make God happy. I felt like I asked God, just please guide me in order to do what you want from me. And what do you want from me? It's not obviously hurting anyone who's not related to that. And really what you want from me is to keep my people safe. And this is what I did. This is what it was in my mind for all the time.
Podarilo sa ti porozumieť tomu, prečo nepriateľ robí to, čo robí.
So when you are in Gaza, obviously you're getting exposed to civilians' life, like schools or mosques or shops of Palestinian people. And when I enter there and I saw what they are holding in normal shops or normal houses, I finally got the answer for the question I've been asking myself, the main question I've been asking myself since I entered Gaza, and it's to understand how a human being can do such a things to other human beings. And in those places, you can see, for example, pictures of the children of the family holding an RPG into the border of Israel. And you find children books that speak about former terrorists and their glory, their death, in order to manipulate the child to be a terrorist himself in the future. And when I saw that, I felt sorry because those children have no future but being a terrorist, because this is what this society is encourage them to do. Even if they want to be doctors or engineers, Hamas eventually will let them to be that. And that's why, again, I felt so sorry for them. And I think the only way to change that is to somehow change the education system there, because I'm sure that anyone who don't support Hamas is a good person.
Chcel by si odkazať niečo tým, ktorí nás pozerajú?
Eventually I came here mostly to share my story, because it's very hard to find a place to share the stories. I gave a little bit of what I know about the war and maybe get something new to some people. But I would say the final message would be that you as a people, the way that you can help to finish this war and to maybe make peace to this area, if you want to, is to stop consuming the false news and the propaganda that you're getting in TikTok or Instagram, because you know in life that when you get something for free, so you are the product. And those, I would say, co-workers or countries that want you to consume this content and eventually support the activity of Hamas will just use your likes, shares, and views. So the next time you're going to see a video from Gaza or for some sort of news, just do your research before you are just passively believe that. And if you find yourself after the research believing that and have a strong opinion on that, and this is the way you view the reality, so go ahead and fight for what's important to you. But if you did your research and you understand that the only countries that actually support the Palestinians and really care about them is Israel, because as I said, we were ourselves giving them food and giving them shelter. So I encourage you to speak up for us.
Ďakujem veľmi pekne, že aj napriek riziku, ktorému podstupuješ, si prišiel do nášho štúdia a urobil si s nami tento rozhovor.
Thank you.
No a vám ďakujeme za pozornosť a ďakujeme vám za to, že aj komentovanie tohto videa bude v rámci slušnosti. Ďakujeme. Sme radi, že ste s nami každý týždeň a sme vďační, že aj vďaka 20 minútovke ľudia poznávajú Boha, majú zmenené životy a prijímajú uzdravenie. A je to možné len vďaka tomu, že tieto relácie podporujete, šírite a zdieľate a práve tak sa dostanú tam, kde sa majú dostať a vy sa stávate súčasťou a partnermi tohto projektu. Prajeme vám, nech je váš pokrok zrejmý vo všetkom a nezabúdajte na to, že tie najlepšie dni sú stále pred vami.